Greetings, fair citizens of our spaceship Earth. Each of us in our human suits, gazing out into the world, gazing out with our ears as we listen. Welcome to another episode of the 10 Laws Podcast with East Forest. I'm East Forest. I'm coming to you from the road because I have just departed on my five-week West Coast tour. So I've hit the road. I left Boulder, Utah, southern Utah here, and I'm heading north. I'm coming up to Seattle. That's the first show at the last day of the month here. But we'll be in Portland on June 1st. And let me just give you the dates real quick because some of them, there's some details. But Portland, June 1st, still tickets. Get a ticket in advance. AWOL Dance Company is going to be with me at that one. It's at the old church. They have a pipe organ. I plan to play it. Do I know how to play a pipe organ? Not really, but it has keys and it has these foot pedals, so I'm going to figure something out. Then we'll be down in Eugene on the 5th and San Francisco on the 7th and 8th. I think we added a date in Marin on the 11th of June. All of those have tickets. Some of them might have cacao. Please get a ticket in advance. That's a big city. I'd really appreciate it if you told your friends, put these on social media, invite people, come say hello. Then I'll be cruising up to Sacramento. Then we're going down to Esalen. I believe Esalen is sold out. But if you want to get your retreat on, you can still do that at the Fall Retreat, East Forest Fall Retreat in southern Utah with Marissa Rada Wepner and myself and other friends. That one will sell out eventually, but I encourage you to get your ticket now. It's mostly based on housing, and we like to keep it kind of intimate and small. Anyway, after Esalen, Santa Barbara, Laguna, maybe San Diego, Las Vegas. That's right, Las Vegas. And then back here to my homestead in Boulder, Utah. So it's a long one, folks. And I'm going to do my best. I'm making a commitment on this tour to self-preservation through self-care. So what does that mean? It means that when I have time off or in the, you know, the times I'm not just driving around or performing, that I need to do things to restore, but really, you know, make a commitment to that. So I actually booked a night at Wilbur Hot Springs before San Francisco because I needed to stay somewhere in between Eugene and San Francisco. And I'm like, it should be at a hot spring. That makes sense to me. I'm very pro hot spring. And in addition, I'm making a commitment to my sitting practice, starting my day with some meditation and just marshaling my own energy and energetic space, connection to all that is. These are things that are easy for me to do when I'm not on the road. But as many of us know, when we get on the road, our habits sort of tend to slip away. I don't know if habits, but our, shall we say, our healthy routines. I do a decent job, you know, getting out there and exercising, running, or you know, sitting, meditating, sometimes getting out on hikes, but it's challenging because you have your equipment with you or you're always staying in new places or you're just on the go. So this time, that's something I need to do. And it's mostly an energetic thing because when you're giving, you need to give back to yourself so that everything just stays happy. I also just, right before I left, I got the masters for the rest of the Ram Dass record. And Huntley Miller did the mastering. And they sound awesome. We need to do a few tweaks, but I'm so excited that I finally have, in, at least in my hands, the full 14-track album. And we can start to now get it into distribution so that we make our milestone for the June 21st solstice release of Ram Dass Chapter 3 is coming really soon. And of course, the full release of the album is on August 9th, and there'll be a release event in Los Angeles. We're still looking for a venue on August 9th. So if you want to host a release gathering, listening gathering, as we've done for chapters 1 and 2, for chapter 3, awesome. You can just go ahead and do it, but you can also email us at info@eastforest.org, and we can send you things like lyrics and any other maybe helpful material that we might put together so you can have a nice community gathering and meet the others, as it were. I wanted to say thank you to those who have left reviews, particularly on iTunes. And, you know, if you can figure out a way to scroll down, which I feel like most of you are pretty tech savvy, you can just click very easily and give it a 5-star review, which is real simple. When I go on my iPhone, I think I go all the way down and it's just right there, ratings and reviews. And then you click this little button down there that says write a review. And you might have to log into your iTunes account if you're not already, but it's real easy to do and it's real fast and it makes a big difference. Like here's one, this is the latest one. Well, the one before the latest was from Joy 1971 Up. What does that mean? In 1971, you were born. It was a joyful event. Joy night. It's like a license plate I have to try to figure out. Anyway, you said it's the cure for PTSD. This podcast has literally been a lifesaver. Literally? That's crazy. And that's amazing. And that's wonderful to hear. Maybe the conversations, I don't know, the meditations. You know, I've been thinking about, I'm going to release a couple of the meditations throughout next year, or some this year, on Spotify and Apple and stuff, just in the regular like music distribution stream. I thought I might include some meditations. But I'd love to know from you, from the ones that I've released here in the podcast, which ones or one do you particularly resonate with? And you can tell me what's your favorite meditation right down here in this review, or you can just type it in. Because that way I can get a little data from you about which ones are working. And then like this podcast is a bit of a lab. It's like the experimental place where I can test these things out with you guys. And then we blast it out to the whole planet so we can meditate ourselves into blissful oblivion. Samantha Coopern. That kind of sounds like a real name. Samantha, good on you. That's just like, why be anonymous on the internet. You said, your music speaks to my soul, and I'm so grateful for the offering. I've been utilizing your musical journeys with my intuitive Reiki sessions with clients, and I Am Loving Awareness has been transformative for myself and my clients when in session, along with some of your other pieces of music. I thank you so much for this. Well, you're welcome. Yeah, I Am Loving Awareness. I've been hearing more and more from people as I meet them out there on the road, that it's just, it's been a really awesome tool in a lot of different ways, you know, like that, like in Reiki, or some people use it as a morning meditation. Some people have been using it actually like in schools to kind of teach this idea of awareness, mindfulness. It's awesome. So I'm pretty psyched to share with you these three new tracks coming June 21st. They have some pretty exciting featured guests. It's summertime, it's the solstice, so they have a little more energy. And you have to remember, like, what I'm building here with the whole record is a listening experience. I still believe in albums, and I want to create something that, from start to finish, has a flow, but also has some diversity. You know, it goes places. And so you're going to see these songs have a bit more juice in the trunk. There's also a song in there about death called Like Taking Off an Old Shoe, a.k.a. Death, which if you're into Ram Dass's work, you might recognize that phrase of his, but we obviously get into that subject, which I think is important. There's another one about soul land, and there's another one about technology. Technology. So very cool that Ram Dass is speaking to things that are affecting us right now. Music for Mushrooms, a soundtrack for the psychedelic practitioner. It's out there. It's making the rounds. I've been hearing about people using it in all sorts of ways. And it sounds like you guys, a few of you have actually made it through all 5 hours. I had a little op-ed on Flood Magazine, which we linked out through social media. And I emailed it out. If you're not on my email list, head over to eastforest.org and get on it. I don't send emails that often, but sometimes I do. And this was, I just wanted to share with you this op-ed because I was able to give a lot of background into why I made the Mushroom album, but also what is different inside it, and you know what makes it valuable, I think, and different than the kind of music that's already been offered for the psilocybin research studies. And for some of you, that maybe it's interesting. It's musical things, it's technical things, it's spiritual things, both old and new. So you can check that out on Flood Magazine, or it's probably linked through my social media and stuff like that. Otherwise, I've just been here in Boulder, you know, right before I left. I was here for like a week, And it was snowing when I got here. When I came back from San Francisco, I drove over the mountain. I was in a straight up legit snowstorm, going like 15 miles an hour, just trying to get here. And since then, it's actually been unseasonably cold, some snowy, rainy, but nonetheless, I've had opportunities to find pockets of time and places in this wonderful landscape of the Grand Staircase National Monument to just sit and to just, I mean, right now I'm looking out on this slick rock with this incredible, like picturesque, almost painterly clouds over it and the sunlight pushing across sideways on these, you know, many millions of years old sand dunes. And it looks like frozen flowing water with dotted pinyon trees and sagebrush. And seeing this kind of stuff, I mean, that's the main reason I like being down here, is the sense of humbleness and the sense of place that it can give me just by looking at it, just by breathing in that landscape and trying to see myself in it, being a part of it. Like, I'm the part of the landscape that can walk around and talk. And what a privilege that is, as we are here in our earth suits as souls, so that we can do this thing. We can walk our walk and walk this planet and do it together and have experiences and learn, and God can reflect back on oneself just because, I guess, in the name of love. All right, so this week I have a conversation with a musician who goes by the name Cloud Chord, and you're going to hear that this conversation came to be under some unusual circumstances that are highly embarrassing for myself. I won't give you all the details now because that's sort of what we get into right out of the gate, and that's what propelled this conversation. But he knows no bounds with his grace, and I was really grateful that we got an opportunity to kind of unpack what happened between us, and then I could also get to know him too, which is my favorite thing about the podcast. And I hope through my own blunders and mistakes that maybe there's some humor in here, but also perhaps lessons we can all learn about right livelihood. So here it is. This is my conversation with Cloud Chord. Okay.
That's good. I'll pull off the mic like a professional singer when I laugh.
Yeah, it's called podcasting mic technique.
Right, exactly.
Hey, man, thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is like an interesting path that we've led to even talking together. And it's one, just to be completely honest with you, It makes me nervous. Not nervous because of anything about you. It makes me nervous because, like, the way we got here is not something I'm too proud of or comfortable with. And I originally wrote to you. Obviously, we'll give some background here, but
sure.
I thought it was kind of like there's something to pick apart there, and there's some lessons I learned, and they're simple lessons, but they're important lessons. And moreover, I just felt like sometimes things happen in life and you're like, maybe there is something there and I kind of want to explore it. I wanted to get to know you a little more and get into your work. Get into your work.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I think just my addition to that is I saw elements of me inside of you in this whole story. And there were things that I resonated with where I said,
I'm so uncomfortable.
Where I said, I've totally done this before. So,
well,
should we talk
we should
about
start
should
we talk the about, beginning? Yes. Oh, Christ. All right.
Well, let me start since I did the initial contact.
Thank you.
So, my background is I discovered you a handful of years ago, I think via like Twitter. I think you were talking, maybe, I know you're not super active on Twitter, but it was something like you were having a conversation with Random Rab, or maybe you came up as a similar artist to Random Rab, whom I've collaborated with and played with and performed with and is a friend of mine.
He was on the podcast recently.
Oh, cool. Rab is awesome. Total soul brother. Anyway, so I kind of dug into your music and have been listening for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years or something. And I do yoga to a lot of your music. I just kind of, I like your music enough to where I can just go to Spotify and put your profile on shuffle and be cool with it. So that's how I resonate with you kind of generally. And me being an explorer archetype type of soul, I said, maybe I should collab with this guy. Because I have very few boundaries as far as collaboration a lot of the time. And so I wrote to you and I said, hey, I would love to collaborate with you. And I think you wrote back and you said, you wrote back pretty quickly initially. And you said,
This is a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like in the fall, like 6 or 8 months ago. And you said, you know, short response, which I've totally done to other people. Like, I'll keep it in mind. Thanks for reaching out. And then I guess this is where you pick up.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so so 6, 8 months ago, I was probably like in the midst of like recording that, this Ram Dass thing. And I'm sure it was like, yeah, cool idea. I'll have to like get back to that kind of thing. And I really, to be honest, wasn't familiar with your music. So it wasn't even like any kind of judgment at that point. It's more like, yeah, could be interesting, but you know, it basically got dropped on my part.
Sure.
And it just came back to me at one point randomly, like many, like 6 months later, which is more recently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was like one of your tracks popped up or something, but I was like, all right. I forgot about that. Not sure. It was very like unskillful even in my mind because I didn't even give it the chance to be like, what is this? What could it be? When could it be? It was still sort of just sort of bandying it about like, you know, sometimes there's opportunities that pop up. Maybe all the time you get random opportunities and most of them don't pan out. Mm-hmm. or that someone drops communication intentionally or not. Mm-hmm. Or people ask for things all the time, but they don't actually, they had the energy to ask, but they didn't have the follow through on like what that would even really mean.
Sure.
Whether that's, hey, come, you should play in Michigan. And I like actually got an email today and I was like, you should play in Michigan. And you know, I think, well, most likely it's just some random person who's just shooting it. Say, hey, you should come play Michigan.
Right.
But it might be. And, you know, I'd like to pay for it and I can do this and I'm the promoter and it's a real job. And so you kind of have to explore these things, but 95% of them don't pan out.
Sure.
So anyway, I could have given it more attention at the outset just to be like, just more thoughtfulness. But I remember it came up and I wanted to explore it. And did I write you first or did I write my manager? I don't remember. I don't think I wrote back to you first.
Right. I don't think so.
Well, here's the horrible part. So I basically was firing off, is one of these days, end of the day, and I'm firing off a bunch of emails just trying to catch up. And that was on my like little to-do list. Like I think it just said CloudCord, like CloudCord something. And I was like, okay. And so Tim, my manager, great guy, but we are two guys and we get into manager speak. I fired off an email to him being like, hey, you know, please check this guy out, CloudCord. I'm just informing you, like he's interested maybe in doing a track or something and whatever. It's basically like, I'd love your opinion kind of thing. I'm just informing him. Uh-huh. And I think he might've wrote back something like, okay, yeah, what do you think? Or like, you know, something really simple.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I got really unskillful. I wrote back to him. This is in the same thread that you and I were in.
Sure.
Ah, God, it's so bad. It's so embarrassing. I don't even want to say it. I'm going to say it. I could even pull it up, but I can remember it. I was like, well, I think I said, I don't think it'd be a sexy thing for, or it's not sexy, meaning like to do it, but it would be like, what did I say? There were two things that were really bad. It was just like a bad email. It wasn't meant for you. And I accidentally sent it to you essentially.
And I think you said it was unsexy and slightly generic, but it could be good if it was easy for you. something
oh
like
my god
that.
Oh my god.
But
I'm such an asshole.
I got two things to add to that just real quick. One, I thought it was remarkable you could have come back and said that was actually a thread about another artist. I was actually wondering why you didn't.
You could have lied.
And then I thought it was also remarkable that you went through this journey with me and that we're here right now because of all that. And actually, one more thing, going back to what I initially said in this conversation, I recognize that I've done the same thing to other artists with my manager, which was a very big teaching moment for me into how I use my words and how I shape them.
Yes. And that was what I was coming to, is that it was all about being impeccable with your word, not just to people's face, obviously. It's almost more important that the lesson is like the power of the word. And that's like the Four Noble Truths in a sense. And that what we say to ourselves, even in our mind, like the use of our word is alchemy. It's power. It's important. And there was a sloppiness on my part for many reasons. So I tried to put my foot in my mouth and explain this to you as the email chain went on, because when I sent that, it was one of those things where, like, within 2 seconds, I think I saw what had happened and it was gone, you know?
Right.
I felt the rush of adrenaline in my body and I was like, no. I think I started saying no. And I like checked, like, you hit the sent folder and it's like, oh, you fucking kidding me. Like, I can't believe even the sloppiness of me just taking another 1 second to be like, who am I sending this email to, you know?
Right.
It was divinely inspired because it did go off. And then I'm thinking, like, who am I to judge anything that you've created? Mostly because I have not even spent like cumulatively maybe a few minutes listening. You know what I mean? Like, I have not even given it the time to give it any form of judgment. And that's like the worst form of myself as an artist, trying to quantify or qualify somebody else and seeing it as like business. And it's like, that's the last reason you should be collaborating with people. And of course that comes into the equation. Of course, that's why people like do featuring things and this and that. But
sure,
that's not where I want to be coming from as a person. And so, in a weird way, I thought, like, the way it brought us together, it's like, well, maybe that's actually showing me there's something deeper that wants to be explored there. And it's not just about like, oh, I'm going to email you some tracks and we're going to just start there. It's like, well, there's something personal that needs to connect. And so just getting it off my chest is like, I asked you to come on the podcast because I felt like there was an exorcism of sorts by just sort of acknowledging my own mistakes. And I wanted to just put it out there and just talk about it because I can do better. And you were saying there, you saw a resonance in your own life with that. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all have things like this, but it happened to me. And I'm sorry, man. I really am.
I forgive you. It's all good.
And since then, I have sent you some piano tracks to try to explore doing something. And it's like, I was joking. I told Tim, you know, obviously what happened. He's just like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, look, man. I mean, he's like, so what do you guys want to do? And I was like, well, he knows what I want to do. So it's like, it's all kind of out there. The good news is there's no duplicitousness. It's like, it's very clear what, you know.
Right.
It's like, we should. So
totally.
I hope I'm grateful you're playing around with the stuff, and I look forward to seeing what happens with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, part of this is becoming a little older and a little wiser in life, and, you know, having the life and spiritual skills to put out a fire without it growing into a huge forest fire. You know, that it was just this little flame that we were able to stamp out or make into a campfire and do marshmallows or something like that. And it didn't become this huge thing that got blown out of proportion.
And well, I told you that is your grace is that knows no bounds, because I think the average person here on my end would have just ghosted you and been like, okay, well, that's a burnt bridge, so let's forget about it and I'll just never talk to him again. No, really, most people be like, sure. Well, that's fucked. So we're done.
Right. right, right.
And it's a credit to you also that you easily could have been like, screw this guy. There's a million people out there. We're done. You know, let's move on.
Sure, sure.
So,
I guess that's also a testament to me liking your music.
Well,
so there you go. Yeah,
some of my close friends, Derek, say they're like, I don't get it. They're like, I hang out sometimes with you, and it's like, you know, a little caustic or a little this, a little that, and then I listen to your music, and it's like angels singing. I'm like, that's the music is like, you know, it's like the best part of me. It's like in some ways, you know, the purest part of me, and that is me too. But it's like that's not necessarily a manifestation of how I. You know what I mean? Day to day, walk my life. I wish it was.
Sure. But... sure. That's funny. I for a second, I thought you were going to say all your friends told you that they didn't like your music. You know, I really like you. You're just such a nice guy, but I just don't get your music. Like,
no, it's the other way around.
Have you thought about a Rihanna feature?
Yeah. So that happened. And I don't know if there's anything else on your end of the story that you would like to share, but we don't have to go on and on about it. I just definitely wanted to acknowledge it before it's asking you other things.
Sure. I think my final summary on it, I've been doing a daily meditation on the power of your words. I've been doing it every day for about a week or 10 days now. And it's one of those, just the app, like the Insight Timer. And it's a daily one. And I just so resonate with it because like things politically right now are so heated and so caustic and people are yelling at each other on the internet and they've never even met each other. And, you know, I interact with a lot of older people who maybe I differ with greatly about our opinions of the political spectrum or what's happening with the world. But so much of that comes down to how you present your wording, and that you can get yourself out of a traffic jam, or, you know, you can gracefully navigate a situation with differing opinions and even have it close with maybe a hug or a handshake or some eye contact if you use your words gracefully. And that's something I, in my journey, have really been focusing on lately because it's so easy to just get fucking pissed off, right? So that's just something. And this is, you know, speaking of Ram Dass, I see this story of you and I as grist for the mill in my journey of this.
Oh, totally.
Of how to use your words, because it's, you know, it's like a melody that you could play on a grand piano or a heavy metal guitar with 9 Marshall stacks. You know, it depends on the scenario and how it's going to work, you know? So,
yeah. You know, you think about it, like your word and how you speak and things. I mean, if you go to like couples therapy, that's like 99% of what they're doing. And it is true that body language is a lot of our communication, just the energy, but nonetheless, it sort of like transmits through our speech.
Right.
And getting more esoteric about it, like the sound that's coming out of our mouth, it's just sound. And we're using that to convey symbols and messages, and you understand them. And that essentially is just like, they're all representations of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all little tiny spells. Like they're all symbols. We've agreed upon the meaning, and it's music too. Literally, right? It's
right.
This form of melody and rhythm and percussiveness and all this stuff. And it's sort of like you just need to sing better, or you need to have better lyrics, or like the vibe of what you're saying just needs to be better. And a lot of what we do is unconscious, right? Because if I had taken a second to slow down, I would not have written what I wrote, and I certainly wouldn't have accidentally sent it to you, and I would have just slowed the whole thing down and not mm-hmm. have been trying to do 20 things in 5 minutes and just be like, you know what? Maybe CloudCore and I will collaborate in a year from now, because it's going to take a second for me just to get that on my plate where I can really give it some attention.
Sure.
And just like I should with everything. And what the hell are we racing to anyway? You know, death?
Right.
It's just this idea of like trying to get so much done. And it's like, does it really matter, you know, what if it happens in 3 weeks versus 2 months?
Right. Yeah, totally. Because with the ego, enough is never enough.
It's never enough. And that's the tough thing with the business we're both in.
Mm-hmm.
If anything has changed in the last few years with music, it's that people, or we think people, want more and more content, like right. faster. Like you and I should be releasing songs more often than we did a year ago and more often than we did 5 years ago, for sure.
Yes.
And it's kind of a weird time like that, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know about you, but how I release music is sort of a hybrid of old and new, you know, albums, but also like breaking things up and singles and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny you say that. Cause I love my management, and I had a meeting with them a week after I released my last album. It was in, March. Now, mind you, I've released 40 songs in the past like 12 months. Okay. And
as singles or,
a variety of singles, two albums, a bunch of EPs. So just a bunch of stuff. On compilations.
That's a lot of material.
Yeah, I've been very prolific. But my management said to me, one of the first questions I asked is, so what's next? And I was like...
what's next? You're like...
Again, I preface this with that I love them and they're on my team, but that's just such a reflection of where we're at, right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. How much touring do you do?
Not a ton. I do, right now I've been doing maybe like 20 dates a year. So I'm active and I'm out there, but I have a wife and a daughter and a teaching practice, and I don't necessarily need to be in airports all the time or in clubs all the time to make a living off of my music, which I feel grateful for.
So you're, do you own a lot of your music, I presume?
Most of it, a lot of it, yeah.
So you can get a lot of that streaming revenue yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I've had over my last year, that's really bumped up. So that's been great. And I've done some scoring projects and stuff like that too. So it's been nice. It allows me, and I'm sure you can resonate with this, it allows me to do the performances that I'm excited about, as opposed to just filling in the calendar. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell me a bit about how things have changed for you. I don't know a lot about your history other than the basics.
Sure.
Did things really like change with Spotify X for you for the better? Or like you fit into a genre that also is very being placed all over the place.
Yes.
In streaming in the last couple of years. Like, it's like, that's what they wanted. And that's what everyone's listening to a lot.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe.
I'm in a good moment. Other times in my career, maybe not so much. But yeah, I guess the short story of it, the generalization is that, yeah, I've been making music since I was a kid and played in all kinds of bands, and I've experimented with all kinds of things. And about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I've made like some more up-tempo dancey stuff. And I continue to do that kind of stuff for, say, longer live sets where I want more up-tempo things. But I look, you know, I kind of sat down a year and a half ago and reflected on, one, what are the kind of sounds and vibes that I would really want to make for me if I wasn't touring at all anymore? If for some reason I could just never gig again, what kind of music would I make? And that was...
That's a great place to start.
Yes. And yeah. That was the question that I asked myself. If I didn't have to impress another group to open for them or impress ticket buyers or promoters, just for me, I live out on 2 acres south of Austin, and it was, you know, like, how does this land make me feel? How does my music resonate with my living environment and my wife, who's a singer, and my daughter, and we homeschool her, and we've got a great life, you know? And just kind of kept coming back to instrumental downtempo. And that's the thing that I've had really great with success with over the years. And I didn't always commit to it for reasons X, Y, and Z. And in 2018, I said, I think I'm ready to, at least for a while, commit to this. And it was just amazing how prolific I became and how much relative success, relative to myself, to previously, it happened.
An increase. Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge increase. I mean, a year and a half ago, I was in a meeting with my manager and I had under 10,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. And now I'm at like a million. So
yeah, it's like a crushing. I mean, you do, like I said to you later in the chain, like you're doing something right, because who the fuck am I? Like,
right.
You're doing a lot right, you know, and your Instagram as well is like quite clever in the sense that it's like you're actually giving like these little live performances and there's a consistency to it and it's sort of playful.
Right.
And people seem to really enjoy that, which is another side of what you do. I know it's just like a little piece of it, but it's kind of smart, you know?
Right. Well, and the thing too is a lot of like down tempo, chill hop, trip hop instrumental producers they're just producers. You know, look at somebody like Boards of Canada or something like that. There's really no performance aspect of them. And for a lot of those,
they quit performing.
Yeah, for a lot of those acts, that's okay. It doesn't need to be that, you know? Like one of my students was telling me last week, he's like, I think Boards of Canada is the most listened to group of all time for computer programmers. And he's a professional programmer. Nah,
well, they're great.
But for me, like I am somewhat of a performer because I played in bands for years and I get it. I get that piece of it. So I started thinking, well, how can I take these chill pieces and give them a visual live aspect? And so, you know, part of it is me jumping around between my Ableton Push and my guitar and my lap steel and my synth. And then also, I'm sure you've seen, is like I happen to be very lucky to have an amazingly cute daughter. So she comes in the picture. And that kind of, you know, blows the stats through the roof because everybody's like, oh my God. Well, and the beautiful thing about that piece of it is that initially was very, very spontaneous, and that guitar videos were a daddy thing and he's in a studio and the door is shut and let's not disturb him. And then a couple times it was just me and her home alone and she walked in the room and she just started dancing in front of the camera, like mid-take.
She photobombed. Yeah.
Yeah, she totally photobombed me. And a couple of, like, we had one that went viral last summer that got like 60,000 plays in a week on Instagram or something. And it was totally spontaneous. It was like I was setting up for a video. She came in to call me in for lunch, said, oh, you're making a video? Can I be in it? Boom. We did it one take, was not overthought. Put it out the next day, put it on a Sunday, which is traditionally like a slow social media day, and it just took off. So
are you just doing those on your phone and you just feed the audio in later, or how do you do that?
That's a good question. I have a Panasonic Lumix camera that's pretty decent. And so, and then I record myself like mics or directly, and then I use Adobe Premiere to match them.
Oh, there's some work involved on this.
Yeah. But I have enough of like a system or a template to where if my performance is on, then I can do one in less than a half hour. It's not that hard.
Do you post it elsewhere besides Instagram?
I do it on all my socials. So I do it on Twitter and I do it on Facebook as well. And I'm starting to get my YouTube game happening. But it's a little bit of a different animal because YouTube tends to be like longer format videos.
Well, this is a weird, simple question, but Instagram is like vertical and Facebook, is it still horizontal? Do you film it horizontal and then crop it to square?
I do them horizontal so that I don't have to do any cropping for Twitter or Facebook. And then Instagram kind of auto crops it. So I always keep that in mind with the shot. That although you don't have to crop it, like there is that button that will zoom it out and make it horizontal on Instagram, which occasionally I do, like with somebody like my daughter, if she's running around me and she doesn't end up being in half the shots, you know, I'll turn it into horizontal.
She's the star, man.
She's like, totally the
secret weapon.
Yeah. Totally my secret weapon.
Do you have one child?
Yeah, yeah. She's about to be six. Her name is Xyla. You spell it X-Y-L-A.
Where'd that come from?
My wife at the time when she was pregnant was reading, she used to read a lot of teen dystopian novels. She just loved them. And Xyla, her full name is Xylara, X-Y-L-A-R-A. She was the character. She was the heroine of the story. And she saved humanity. And her name was Lara from the kingdom of Xy, and thus the name Xylara.
I really hope she picks up the xylophone later in life.
Right? She's got one. Amazing. For sure. Yeah. I had a doctor tell me one time, he's like, your daughter, they're definitely going to name a drug after her because she's just got one of those names. Like, sweet, Big Pharma. There you go.
Cool. So, I mean, you do sound like you've hit a sweet spot of being able to just rock it out in the studio, have a family life, play out a little bit, mm-hmm. make a little cash. I mean, that's a pretty good gig.
It's a great gig. And I, you know, I teach and mentor a bunch too, which I really enjoy. I'm sure you can resonate with this. As an artist, it's so easy to get caught up in yourself. And you're just kind of a feedback loop into your own creative decisions. I have so many artist friends who have like 2 weeks with no deadlines and they seemingly get nothing done because they don't have to answer to anybody. But for me, teaching avoids that. And that the element of service to other people takes me outside of myself. So that when I get back into the studio, I am just full of ideas. So wow. I think I'll always teach because of that.
I don't teach like that. You know, I teach in different ways, but I do it through the mechanism of what I'm doing, whether it's like, you know, it's a ceremonial space or it's a retreat. Mm-hmm. But that's still part of like my, I guess, ecosystem in a sense.
Sure.
And I've thought about doing... whether online or physical retreats that are more in the spirit of the gift. So it's more like teaching people to sort of do what you do, but as a way of giving back. But I never thought about like teaching an instrument or anything. I mean, part of it's, I don't feel that strong at any instrument. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I didn't know if I was qualified to teach that.
Right.
Musically.
Right. Some of that might be... In being a trained listener and listening to your music, I think you have plenty of skills. Maybe you just don't have enough obvious tools in your toolbox to translate that to other people. Maybe.
Well, I also never have had to. So it's sort of like you've never practiced vocalizing even what your process is, perhaps. You know, it's such a just, I don't know. It definitely would be, teaching is a skill. I've never dipped my toe into it in that direct way. I would be like, well, where do I start? Kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. My backstory on teaching is that I was incredibly lucky. I went to music school at CU Boulder. Speaking of Boulder, the
Boulder people know.
Yeah, exactly. And they had this amazing program to where if you were a music student, you could get paid to give private lessons to non-music students. And so say somebody that's majoring in economics that wants to take guitar lessons and use some, you know, 3 hours of their elective credits because they want to learn acoustic guitar. I was able, the whole time that I was there working on my degree, I was able to do that instead of wait tables or sling a hammer or whatever, you know.
And that's great.
So I had 4 years of crashing and burning as a young musician to figure out this teaching thing. And but after 4 years, it was, you know, to where I kind of had my template to where if somebody came in, my ears and my skills were strong enough to 90% of the time or higher, I was up to the task. You know, what do you want to learn today? Okay, let's figure it out. And that's very much my my color as a teacher is you know, let me kind of form around you and help you, as opposed to let me just, you know, vomit information that I think you need.
Well, it is said a lot, and it's probably true, that if you're able to teach something you think you know, you start to learn how much you actually know. And so just going through the process of figuring out how to teach music or what you do is going to make you a lot stronger at what you do. Like you said, it feeds your ideas creatively.
Yes, totally.
Which I never thought about it that way. And I think that's really beneficial, obviously, but interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like, you know how you're working on a tune and you get stuck, so you need to go on a walk or do something else?
Yeah.
It's a lot like that, but maybe even more, because you're still in music. So I'm still in that flow of listening and playing, but it might be with a 16-year-old.
Different aspect.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And I teach all ages and all skills. So, I mean, I think my youngest student is an 8, and I have several students that are actually in their 70s. And
cool.
I learned something from everyone, and a lot of them have become my friends, you know, to where I'll have dinner with them and that kind of stuff. Or if I have, you know, a birthday party or a solstice party, there's some of them that I'll invite over for our campfire.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, tell me a little bit about your creative process, because this is something I'm always interested in, is how people create, and if you've picked up any little tricks or habits for yourself. Like for me, when I do it during the day is important, and the aspect of consistency. Like I have what I might consider not a very productive day creatively, but at least I did it.
Sure.
And I'm sort of responsible for just putting in a little time. I like doing like little bricks of things as opposed to big waves of creativity. For someone like yourself who's so prolific, how does that look for you day to day? How does the rubber meet the road?
We refer to it in our household as daddy's morning music time.
Is that a euphemism for like, it sounds like.
Right.
It sounds like that phrase. That's when I go smoke pot right, in the garage.
Exactly. No. That's hilarious. So generally speaking, my wife and I wake up pretty close together in the morning before my daughter, and we kind of have a ritual of us doing yoga and meditating together. And it's been incredible for our relationship and just staying connected. It's been great. And then we have this generally unspoken thing that I need to go do music in the morning for bare minimum of an hour, or else I'll be agitated the entire day. So that's kind of...
I'm the same way.
Same way?
I'm the same way. I'll say something when you're done that relates to
okay.
that.
Okay. But just generally speaking... I live in a temperate climate. I live in Austin. So I can actually play guitar outside in the morning most of the year. So, and like I said, I live on this land. So especially since, because we used to live in Brooklyn, so my creative template was much different there. But
I lived there too.
Did you really?
Yeah, for like eight years.
No kidding. That's so fun. I was in Park Slope. We were in Park Slope.
I was in Park Slope for one year. It was 4th Avenue and like Baltic and Warren over there.
We were pretty close. We were fifth and first.
Yeah, that's, you were in more in the actual Park Slope, but
yeah. So I tend to since I'm like I am a multi-instrumentalist, but really like my true voice is guitar. So really it's kind of basic of me having morning meditation time with my guitar. And I still to this day, I mean, I've been playing since I was 12. I still to this day study other players constantly because it just feeds me. And I'm at a point now where I'm developed enough to where I can digest my influences. I'm not necessarily biting on somebody.
Like, how do you study them?
It's a mixture of things. Like a lot of times it's just lifting things by ear, you know, of like, oh, you know, so I never really learned
to it.
Listen to it, check it out. Really getting into like a lot of neo soul and gospel guitar players because they just fascinate me. And I'm fascinated with how much energy their guitar playing has without relying on distortion or effects, that it's just like a clean guitar with a little bit of reverb and it has so much power. So
isn't Keith Richards like that? Like no pedals?
He's kind of like that. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know if I'd call him a neo soul player, but he's on that same.
No, path. But yeah.
But yeah, studying a lot of, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, like a lot of just black gospel musicians that just blow me away. And that's mm-hmm. kind of my current fix. And I'll take, you know, a lot of times I'll like study somebody on YouTube for 5 minutes. I'm like, whoa, I never thought of that voicing. Well, like, wow, that's all the stuff they did over D minor. Holy moly. And then, so a lot of times, and I do this with my students, I call it tracing or silhouetting. Start with somebody else's piece, try, you know, do your musical trace around it, and then throw them away and mold it and mold it and mold it till it becomes your own. And so that's how a lot of my stuff happens, is I'll get inspiration.
I love that.
You know, I'll listen to Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix, and now I'm at a point where I can say, all right, what's really going on here? And then I can take half of it and modulate it and do some chord substitution and speed it up or slow it down. And then what I do a lot for my own kind of daily deadline is I try to do a lick of the day on my Instagram story. So that's like, can I get 15 seconds worth of music that's brand new within a half hour or an hour? And then
15 seconds
of just like a guitar, just guitar chord melody. It's not like a full production or anything, you know, just a little thing. I mean, sometimes it's even just like three chords that repeat twice with a little chord melody. And, but what it does is it just keeps me going. And then most of the time, if I like it, then I'll just jump inside into my studio and I'll record it. And I just literally have a folder called Lick of the Day. And then later on in the day, or I'm in a different space, or maybe even right at that moment, then I'll start orchestrating around it. And that's...
And you do that to make it into a song for something else or for the Instagram post?
Both. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my work has started as Instagram Licks of the Day. Or like these spontaneous videos I do to where, because, you know, it's the thing as musicians to where I see so many composers as deer, they're like deer in the headlights because they're like, I'm not good enough or skilled enough to make 3 to 4 minutes worth of music. And I always say, well, let's start with 8 measures. Let's start with 2 measures. Let's start with 1 measure. And so that's my version of that, of it's, I don't even think about full songs in the morning. I'm thinking about 15 seconds worth of music. If I can get to 15, then I can just duplicate that loop, change the bass line or the drums, and then you're kind of off to the races at that point.
So you can really do that in half an hour, like from nothing to a video?
Well, okay. So I'm talking about my Instagram stories and not my actual Instagram videos.
Oh, I haven't seen those. Oh. So this is more stuff.
This is more stuff I did.
Oh, so
these are just
God.
My stories. They're more. They're raw. They're just me out on my
with the phone.
With the phone, yes, exactly. And it's just like a little amp outside. And sometimes there's little mistakes, or like a note gets muted or something. But those are all the germinations of my songs.
Because you're creating, improvising.
And some of them are rough around the edges, and I think people actually like that.
So are your stories just licks of the day or other things?
I'll do other things too. Whatever I want, you know. But I think the most repetitive thing, or thing you could rely on to see the most in my channel, would be the licks of the day. It's definitely the thing that I get the most feedback on.
More than your posts? So aren't your posts a little different? The ones that have the videos, the ones I'm talking about that I've seen?
Yeah. I mean, those get a lot of feedback too. I just mean in relation to other stories, you know? Like I'm not posting myself at a restaurant when my daughter's eating food, or I don't really do too much of that.
Why would we?
Right. Yeah. If I go to like a kick-ass concert that's a friend of mine or something, I will definitely put them in my story.
So this is interesting. I'm seeing that like your social media approach is actually fodder for your own creative work, as opposed to just an ends and a means in itself.
100%.
And that's interesting, right? That seems to me like, well, that's useful for right. you. But then the other side of it is you're reaching people. But let me ask you, how much have you felt that this growth you've experienced, whether it's on social media or particularly streaming services like Spotify that put you in playlists, translates into connections with people beyond obviously the income sure. that's coming in from Spotify?
Yeah, that's kind of the great mystery.
If you care. I don't know if it matters.
I do care. I definitely do care. I mean, I have a mailing list. And so I try to hit it from every angle. Like, I remember Skrillex said one time, he was talking about music distribution. And he said, why wouldn't you want your product in every store? And he was talking about, because when one of his projects didn't want him to do SoundCloud because they couldn't monetize at a label. And he said, but that's like, why wouldn't you, even though if you don't align with Walmart, if you make a great product, why don't you want to be in there to serve that those kind of people? My point is that I try to be a little bit of everywhere. So like I have a Bandcamp that's Name Your Price. And when people download my stuff there, I get their email list. In my email list, I get to talk about my releases and I pump up new videos. Twitter, I engage with a lot of other producers. Twitter's actually been really good for me over the last year because I've been interacting with a lot of producers and a lot of people have picked up on my videos. And I actually had one with my daughter last summer. Crazy. We played along to a Disclosure song that they had just released that week. And within 24 hours, it went viral enough that the Disclosure had retweeted it and it was on their timeline. That was such a cool thing. You know, it's the power of community, you know?
Let me ask you about Twitter, like, because I feel like that medium works best when you, the individual, is retweeting and replying to other people. You're sort of active as opposed to just doing, say, a post a day.
Sure.
Are you a little more active on that platform?
I am, yeah, I am. I've actually been probably most active on that one more than the rest of them recently because it's a variety of producers that I vibe with and news and artists that I admire. You know, it's a real mixture of things. So, I'm pretty active on, I'm pretty active on all of them, but at the same time, here's another thing as far as my creative process. My phone is almost never in my studio. So I don't know how you deal with that, but that'll be the, that is like, for me, my phone in the studio is trying to drive on the highway with the emergency brake on. Like it just, you know, it's like every 2 seconds something. Even if you put it on silent, just, you know, I find to me, like if my phone, it's like with alcoholics, you don't put a beer in front of them. I'm that way with my phone. If my phone is in front of me and I'm rendering something, I will probably go to my phone before I go to my Rhodes, even though my Rhodes is beautiful. Like it's just how my brain works. So it's just eliminate it from the situation entirely, you know?
Yeah, we need to have those limits. I talk a lot about social media and I've talked to a lot of people about even some of the designers of this stuff. I was just at a conference last weekend that was in San Francisco. So there's a lot of tech people and it talked, part of the conference was about tech. And one of the guys there was a former designer. I can't remember. It might've been Twitter, but he was way up and he basically, his job was to work with your brain and trick it to do things like, you know, how the notification sounded and how many milliseconds until it beeps versus when it lets you know you have a mention and how that works with your dopamine. I mean, they're just screwing with your head to keep you on the screen. And that's what they do.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's powerful, powerful stuff.
It is very powerful stuff. It is very powerful.
Yeah.
I think that the, just one more thing about the question that you asked me is I think the generality of it all is I try to, like, I answer all my DMs within a couple days. I try to stay interactive. But I don't keep my phone in my studio. So there's a time and a place for everything.
it's cool that you even have a studio that you can separate things out like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still in my house.
Sometimes I have that. Right. It's a different room.
Different room. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to? What's kind of the edge that you're on, either creatively or personally, that maybe it's like something you're struggling with right now or something maybe you figured out for yourself in that way? It's a very broad question.
Sure, sure. I think one thing I've been really working on is how to be funky and groovy and beautiful at the same time. And those don't always go together. You know, to where mm-hmm. can you make a piece that makes somebody want to move their hips, but it will also sway their heart and tell them a story for the ages? You know,
that's what our track should do.
There it is, bro. I love it.
That sounds like a nice mashup of East Forest and Cloud Court. It's like groovy, but it's touching your soul.
Beautiful and majestic. Really, a lot of it, though, I think the simple word is clarity. Just always looking for more clarity. And I'm about to, my family and I are going to the East Coast for 10 days next month. And doing a show at the Omega Institute. Have you been there?
Is that in upstate New York? I have. It's been a while. Once I played there a long time ago.
Yeah, Ram Dass done a bunch of stuff there for sure. So playing a show there. I've played there several times. Great community. Going to Alex Gray's Chapel of Sacred Mirrors for teaching my fourth annual Ableton workshop there, which is like a three-day intensive. It's cool because it's a mixture of like a spiritual retreat and an Ableton workshop because it's on, you know, at his on his grounds and he's around. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, is that what makes it sort of a spiritualized grounding, the fact of its location, or is it something how you're doing the teaching?
More of the location, but I tend to have spiritual elements in my practice. I wouldn't say it's overtly spiritual because of me, but I do incorporate those kind of things. And I also just
like one or two.
Say that again.
What is one or two of those things you incorporate that you feel spiritual?
Sure, like I talk about my process and I talk about how I talk about meditation. I talk about mindfulness. Actually, something I want to do this year that is new is I want to do what's called a listening walk to help us become better listeners, which totally helps you when you're mixing. You know, walking through, they have a nature trail there, walking through without saying anything and just becoming conscious, more conscious of everything you're hearing and, you know, the polyrhythms in nature and the pitches of the birds and how they interact and, you know, the ecosystem, how it interacts with each other.
Yes.
So, but it's very cool because they stay in this Victorian house and Alex and Allison's paintings are all over the place and there's sculptures and installations and Alex and Allison themselves are at all the meals and they're very approachable. So it's a very cool gig. I mean, it takes a lot of hustle to make it happen, as do most things in life that are worth doing. But and then I'm playing a full moon party there. So it's kind of nice to be doing some gigs, but they're all at retreat centers. I'm sure you can identify with this.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun. Is that something people can sign up for? I mean, this is a great time just to let people know where they can find you and this sort of all these things you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody follows me on social media, just look up for Cloud Court anywhere. I think this is the easiest thing to do. My website link is actually a link tree to where you open it up and it's all like sublinks. And so there's a link for the Cosm workshop. There's a link for my latest record, for my Spotify, my SoundCloud. So at Cloud Chord, CloudChord, and you can find that anywhere. Or you can also just Google Cloud Core.
The link tree, is that like, is there just a URL that would take you to that link tree? So like you said, that's your site?
Yes, exactly. So if you just go to any of my profiles, you know how like social media profiles have a link in them? All you have to do is click on that and it opens up a link tree that shows like the Cosm workshop and my tour dates and my other social media and my mailing list, all that stuff. So
cool.
So yeah, man. Well, let me ask you one question. What's up for you? What's your next thing to climb or endeavor?
That's a good question. When you were saying earlier about sort of being lost in your own ecosystem, that resonated with me, and about how you were teaching. And I've been so busy lately, and I have so many things going on, and I feel good about all of them. But at the same time, there, a lot of my service work is directly through my work, and I feel pretty good about that. But I do feel sometimes a little lost in my own bubble.
Right.
In a way, especially like there's just more and more and more happening, and I have more and more ideas. So part of my work, I think, is I would like to re-deepen my connection with the land. Because that's been waning a little bit, even though I'm here, and it's almost deeper than it's ever been, but it's sort of, I can feel the calling for it to be a little deeper, or there's an invitation there. And that'll probably just reflect back into my work. And I've been thinking a lot lately about spiritual practice and just sort of what are the ones that work best for me, because for everyone, it's unique. And certainly making music is a spiritual practice for me in the way it feeds my soul as an expression of that. But I could probably step up my game in some other ways.
Sure.
And I think that'll be more important than ever as things get busier. And busier. Potentially.
Right.
I'm on the road a lot lately. And so it's sort of, it's not 20 dates a year, but it's also a little different because I feel like that what I'm doing, one aspect of what I'm doing sort of is supposed to be live. Like it's about a group ceremony in a way. It's about that connection together in a group. And so it's like, it that's important, you know, at least right now it is. And I'm on a sort of a path with that I want to continue to see through.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. I don't know if that answers the question.
No, that absolutely does. It does. It's cool and insightful to, you know, meet other artists, especially when they're on a conscious spiritual path and, you know, openly discuss the things that they're digging into or what they feel like their challenges are.
Yeah,
especially somebody like you or I who has a slightly left of center, like meaning that we're not just making records and playing clubs. It's we have a little bit different algorithm happening.
Yeah, I mean, my last record was a mushroom record for 5 hours. So, I mean, it's definitely pretty far left. But
Right. Yeah, when that came out, I was like, man, that is awesome.
It's pretty far out. But you're right. It is. I like connecting with folks and keeping the process transparent. That's a lot of what this podcast is about. And why, going back to the beginning of us talking about something that could have just been forgotten as a way of healing from it or thinking we're healing from it, when really I thought like, well, I think there's more there. And by us exploring it together, we're sharing that healing with others. And it's a story that we continue to talk about, a hope of bravery and connection and compassion. It's been great just to get to know you through. That's what I like about this podcast the most, is I just get to know people by, you know, getting to talk to them for an hour.
Right. Very cool. Be the change.
Be the change. Well, I look forward to chatting soon, maybe again, and crossing paths if I'm ever in Austin, which I was recently. I wish I'd reached out, but...
I know. I didn't see that until like a week after. I was bummed I missed you. You played at a yoga place, right?
I think, yeah. There was, can't remember the name. I apologize. They were great hosts and it went really well, but it was just basically a big room and we just put speakers up and I did like a one of the ceremony concerts, which is sort of like a mixture of concert and like a journey experience.
Hey, I'll leave you with the one last thought of, so you sent me, the listeners do not know this, but you sent me three little piano things to work with as a starting point. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on an EP right now that is, it's all beats because I'm a beat maker, but a lot, it's very acoustic themed. So I'm thinking at least one of those will make it onto that EP.
Cool.
You and I will definitely talk between now and then, and you know, I'll be very transparent with it and take your feedback, etc. But
just accidentally send an email to me about what you really want to do, and that'll be our form of transparency.
But yeah, that was my initial instinct, is wow, this could be great for the acoustic EP. So
yeah, well, they're all on a grid of beats, so hopefully and feel free to chop it up or whatever, you know, creatively feels good.
And you had one in 7/4, I think, which I thought was very cool.
I did.
Yeah. And then, which is cool because I have an acoustic guitar tune in 5/4 on this EP. So,
well, maybe they can make 7/4 or 5/4 love together.
Exactly. 12/4.
All right, man. Well, keep me updated, and I hope you, wish you much success.
Yes. Much gratitude for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Well, that happened. I got that all off my chest. I gotta say, when I was trying to just, I mean, I said to him, hey, let's have this conversation and bring it out into the open. And I thought, all good. And then once it actually happened and I'm sitting there having to explain what happened, I really couldn't even get it out of my mouth. And I found myself sort of weaseling my way out of it in a way. And I love how he's just like, let me pick it up. This is what you said. It's horrible. I originally thought I might read the actual email chain, but I actually chickened out because it was just too hard for me to even relive when he was actually on the other end and I'm talking to him for the first time. It's embarrassing, but I feel really good that we got to get that out there, and it was awesome now to be connected. He's a great guy. So I'm on tour. I hope to see you. Check it all out, eastforest.org/tour. It's all over the West Coast, Seattle down to San Diego and up through Vegas. Lots of dates there, and they're happening now. So it helps me out a lot if you get advance tickets. Obviously, if you share this online, it makes a big, big, big difference. Invite people. And this podcast too. I love it when it's shared and we can help get these stories out there. So share it on social media. Share an episode you like. Tell a friend. Write us if you want to have it. If you have any questions, info@eastforest.org, and leave a review. As we said, tell me which meditation is your favorite in the review part down there on iTunes, if that's where you're listening to this kind of shindig. All right, kids, this music playing in the background, this is the song called Spread. And this is from Music for Mushrooms, a soundtrack for The Psychedelic Practitioner. This is track number 5 of 13 tracks. And you can hear that new record wherever you listen to music. It's also available at eastforest.org. Click on the music tab if you would like to download it in high resolution or really whatever resolution is your thing. I won't judge. I'm going to put that aside for now. So you keep walking your walk. Don't take any shit. Where you go, let the forest be with you. But whatever you do, do it with grace, folks. Peace.